मृषाधर्मस्य भारासीत् दम्भं मायं च शत्रुहन् अश्रुतमिथुनं धातु निरिथिर्जगृहे प्रजा मृषा अधर्मस्य of irreligion, bharaya, wife, asit, was, dambham, bluffing, mayam, cheating, cha, and, shatruhan, O slayer of enemies, astu, produced, mitunam, combination, tat, that, to, but, niritri, jagrihe, took, aprajaha, being childish, being childless. Translation, another son of Lord Brahma was irreligion, whose wife's name was falsity. From their combination were born two demons named Dumba, or bluffing, and Maya, or cheating. These two demons were taken by a demon named Niritri, who had no children. Purport. It is understood herein that Adharma, irreligion, was also a son of Brahma, and married his sister, Mrisha. This is the beginning of sex life between brother and sister. This unnatural combination of sex life can be possible in human society only where there is adharma or irreligion. It is understood that in the beginning of creation, Brahma created not only saintly sons like Sanaka, Sanatana, Narada, but also demoniac offsprings like Niritri, adharma, dhamba, and falsity. Everything was created by Brahma in the beginning. Regarding Narada, it is understood that because his previous life was very pious and his association very good, he was born as Narada. Others were also born in their own capacities, according to their backgrounds. The law of karma continues birth after birth, and when there is a new creation, the same karma comes back with the living entities. They are born in different capacities according to karma, even though their father is originally Brahma, who is the exalted qualitative incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's another story of Yamaraj and his sister, Yamuna Devi. They're both the brother and sister, children of the sun god. So because they're, you know, very qualified, and being brother and sister had very similar natures, then Yamuna Devi asked Yamaraj that since, you know, marriage means of partners that are very equally matched, and we're equally matched, so wouldn't it be proper that we get married? So then Dharmaraj then mentioned that no, this is, you know, for the animals. Animals may marry brother and sister, but human beings, they don't. So we see here, same situation, but different results between Dharma and his sister and Adharma and his sister. Right? So Prabhupada's making the point, only when there's Adharma, then can all kinds of, you know, strange and wonderful sexual relationships be established. Otherwise, if there's dharma, then things go smoothly. Mistake is made that sex life and children, this is for our own purpose. But we forget that the living entity that is produced is a separate living entity than us. There's a difference between kids and, let's say, accessories. like that. It's a fine line, I know, but in actuality, there's a difference because, you know, your Porsche doesn't think. You know, maybe it has a computer chip and does a lot of stuff and talks to you, but still it doesn't think. Right? It's not conscious. But children are. So that means then the procreation of children is more happening than simply our own interest, our own idea. And we see that when the irreligion is the prominent element in society, then this is forgotten. It's forgotten that there's something more there. In other words, the human being is here for spiritual upliftment. And everything being connected to the Lord and coming from the Lord can be connected and be spiritual. Therefore, even producing children, raising children, can be a spiritual endeavor. And so this lack of understanding, then we think it's all about ourselves, that whatever we're doing is for our pleasure rather than for the Lord. And so then we'll take up situations that aren't correct, aren't ideal. Right? The problem is not that senses are coming in contact with the sense objects and it produces some kind of experience. That's not the problem. The problem is we take that as for ourselves. Right? Just like, is there any problem with boga? Right? You have a plate of boga, right? Nicely cooked, nicely arranged. Is it a problem? Is there something wrong here? Is there some sin? It only is if you eat it. If you take and offer it to Krishna, then it's nice. Right? So the point is that with this connection to Krishna, your connection with it, then is not a problem. But if it's not connected to Krishna, then your connection with it is a problem. So this is the point, is that senses and samsaras aren't the problem. The point is that sense and sense object, is that experience connected to Krishna? That's the point. And then do you have some connection with that combination, with that experience? Right? If you do, fine. If you don't, you don't. Right? On regular days, there's prasadam, so it's Krishna, right? And then we connect ourselves with that, it's fine. Let's say it's a codicy and it's prasad, but it's grains. So even though it's Krishna, right, the process of eating is also spiritual. But in this case, we don't have a connection with Krishna in the form of grains on a codicy. Does that make sense? You know, just like the deity, you have a relationship with the deity, but not at night once the deity has gone to rest. It's not your business to come in and start up a conversation and say, hey, you know, like this. It's not our business. Right? So the point is this discrimination, to be able to tell what is for us and what is not. Right? This is the point. Now it's worked out. Okay, this is right, this is wrong. It's worked out for you, right? You tell the kid, don't touch the fire, right? It's wrong. Okay, so it's worked out. But there is a reason behind that. There is a process. So someone who, but if you ask the kid, why don't you touch the fire? I don't know, mommy told me. You know, like that. But if you ask an adult, they say, well, if you touch the fire, you get burned, right? They understand. So the rule is there just to ensure that the proper activity is performed, whether you understand it or not. But it's expected that you're not going to remain in the ignorant position. Right? One's going to educate oneself and know why one is doing. Otherwise, just because one follows the rules, and then one develops sentiment around those rules, and one is very determined to follow that, it's nice for yourself, but unfortunately, it may not be very nice for everybody else, right? Because the tendency is what you like to do. If you don't know why you're doing it, you will force it upon everybody, whether it applies to them or not. So this creates a disturbance. So Rupa Goswami mentions this. It's a disturbance. because it's not based on proper understanding and knowledge. There's ignorance there. Ignorance will always give problem. Right? There's always going to be some problem, whatever it may be. So the human being is supposed to educate himself. And so educating himself means understanding what is correct according to Krishna's direction. What does Krishna like? How does Krishna like things to happen? Right? That's called dharma. How Krishna doesn't like things to work, that's called adharma. It's a very simple thing. We like to arbitrarily place our own definitions on things, but that doesn't really matter. We can do that, and we can even get friends to agree that our definition is quite good. But then there's God. So unless he's convinced, you're still going to have the same problem, right? You have one thief, and he contacts some other thieves, and they all agree that if they work together, then they can do some kind of a job, and all become together very rich. So they all think it's good, right? But that doesn't mean that God thinks it's good. And that's going to remain, since he's the boss and he's in charge of things, that's the way it's going to work. So one can only drop that element that God matters and God's in control if one takes up the atheistic position that God's not in control and what we think is actually, you know, how things work. Right? But then if you look at it, if you dig a little deeper, then this is the point being made when the Buddhists say, does a tree make sound if it falls in the forest and no one's there to hear it? Right? So that's the point. It's just, if I'm not there, nothing happens. And if I'm there, then it happens. Right? You know, like you're at a party, so it's a happening party. You're not at a party, and someone says, well, that was a great party. You say, no, it wasn't. Why? Because you weren't there. You understand? So that means this Buddhistic concept or this atheistic concept we apply in our life, that if I think it or I feel it, then it must be real. And if I don't think or feel it, then it's not real. But the problem is God's real whether we accept him or not. That's the point. We accept that's God consciousness. We don't. That is illusion. That's the point. So here, because the living entity is thinking that they are the controller and enjoyer, which is illusion, that means they have to be going against the concept of how God's arranged things. That means automatically a dharma is established. So in the very beginning of the creation, then Brahma will manifest as one of his sons, Adharma. Because that's the very basis of our being in the material world. Right? Right? This is the actual original sin, right? Nothing to do with Adam and Eve, right? It's not an apple business or this or that. Right? This is a matter of that we think we're God. And God, what he thinks, happens. So we're thinking that what I value, that's reality. What Krishna points out is that it's only reality because it's him. Right? So if the living entity understands this, then they try to see what they're doing in relationship to Krishna. Now this brings up another point here, which is then also in line with the same, what we think is good, and what we think bad is bad. But there's beyond that, that it still is, whether it's good or it's bad, its origin still, the potency of it is still coming from Krishna. So that technically means anything then therefore can be connected back. Right? So that means beyond our perception, and beyond our understanding, there still is right, or there still is wrong. Because we will also, in the same way we think what I think is, you know, what the standard, that God being unlimited, there are standards beyond what we understand or think. So if it's outside of our purview, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It's just not important to you because you don't think in that way, which is fine. But we have to understand that God being unlimited, all these different aspects are coming from Him. So that means all the different groups and all the different people who think, then they're going to have a different nature. And they're going to think in a different way. So that means the broader you establish the concept of community, the more it has to rise above the conditioned element as the commonality and be Krishna conscious. So when people say, oh, you know, we have to represent the community, then that has to mean God consciousness, because in reality, all the people are sitting in this room. There's a very good chance if you weren't sitting in this room and you were back somewhere wherever you came from and were not devotees, you would never talk to most people in this room. You wouldn't. Their nature is so different from yours, you would not have anything to do with them. Because if you look at it now, in this community, in this room full of people, how many people do you know? How many people are you close with, you interact with, you actually are friends with? It's a very small handful. So that means the common point is God consciousness. And so then if whatever you're doing, if it's God conscious, that's community. Someone's offering the artake and someone else is leading kirtan. Very different in form, right? But it has one common point. It's pleasing Krishna. Therefore, we won't say someone's out distributing books, someone's in the kitchen cleaning, someone else is cooking, like that. You know, someone's, you know, how you say, talking to Dinah, like that. In any case, then they're going to, it's all doing the same thing. Right? We don't say, oh, it's so different because the form is very different. No, why? Because God consciousness is the common point. So that's what makes community work. You have to find, what is the common point? Everyone's here because of Krishna consciousness, Lord Chaitanya, this is Mayapur Dham, right? It's Prabhupada's project. Other than that, it's not. They think, well, hey, let's go to Mayapur. There's such a variety of international personalities there. I'd just love to go and hang out and meet new friends and, you know, I meet new people, make new friends, you know. That's what you were thinking, right? No. So everyone's here because of the common point of God consciousness. So that's the point. Krishna consciousness can unite the whole world and everybody can stay in their position, dealing with what actually is valuable to them. But the point is it must be connected to Krishna. That's the common. Since everything's Krishna, everything is connected to Krishna. It's just a matter of understanding that. You understand that, then everybody's connected, and you have community. You don't, then you don't have a common ground here for community, right? You look at any other communities, you know, man-made, created communities in the world, right? A bunch of businessmen get together, a bunch of people around golf, or a bunch of people trying to save the kids in, you know, Biafra, or now what is this, Somalia, or whichever place it is now that's the latest, you know. And like this, and so that's what they're there for. They have a common point, right? And so they all play golf, or they all have money to give in charity, or they're all powerful. There's very common conditioned nature and very common purpose. But that's all. So something as varied as this is bringing the whole world together, then it's got to go way beyond anything you've ever experienced or read about or heard about in your life. It has to go to the point of that God consciousness has to be the point. You have to have a mature enough understanding of God consciousness that you can see how all the different devotees dealing with all their different conditioned natures are all connected to Krishna. Then you have community. That's the basis. There is no political basis for community on this level. There isn't. Right? There's not. So only Krishna consciousness, only Krishna is involved in everything. So this would be another side of the element of adharma, meaning that everything is coming from, Brahma has created everything. He's gotten all this potency from Krishna. Right? The primary creation is already there in the lotus. He is simply the engineer that's manifesting it. So now, another is that then the element of karma. Is that how is the living entity appearing in their specific situation in this world? So as we see, we have from one end Narad Muni and the four Kumaras and others, you know, very properly situated, very God-conscious, celibate. That, and then on the other end of the spectrum is Adharma marrying a sister. So everyone is born into a situation or by their previous karma, right? One may say, well, you know, what if it's, you know, I had no karma? That's okay if you're Brahma, then you can think like this. If you're Lord Brahma, and then you can think, well, maybe this is my first appearance in the material world, so I don't actually have any material karma. But it's also stated that the most pious living entity in the universe takes up the position of Brahma. That also includes that it can be a new living entity is coming into the material creation. So naturally they're going to be the most pious because they've done no impiety as such. Right? So that will make them the most pious. But it also means someone within the universe, by their performance of piety, could also qualify. So that means you could, again, gone around in a full circle and come back and be Brahma again. You know? So we're talking about a long time here in the material world. Right? So, the point is one is born according to the previous karma. This previous karma, then, is naturally going to be mixed. There's nothing pure in the material world. So there's nothing purely bad, either. Just as there's nothing purely good, there's nothing purely bad. Therefore, you have someone who has very bad character born in a very nice situation, very wealthy situation, or religious family, or very educated families. Right? But they don't have the character, because it's a mix. So, as one was in the previous life, that one will be born in this life. So Adharma was adharmic previously, then he's adharmic this life. Just depending upon the situation, you get these. So it's very important to note this mix, otherwise one will be disturbed. How it is that, you know, you have nice families with bad kids, or bad families with nice kids, or, you know, why can't things just be, you know, obvious? But then that means then our dealings would have to be always obvious, very ordinary, straightforward, very consistent. But they're not. So, yeah. Also is that the living entity, the being feminine, there's always the idea of, well, what about this? What about that? That you have a situation, it gave you an experience. So if you make some adjustment in it, you can continue that good experience, or make adjustment, you can get rid of the bad experience, right? And because the living entity has a large capacity to create or think in that way of variety, therefore Krishna has created 8,400,000 species in which you can do that. And then within each species, you also have your bit of variety, right? So like this, then one can try all these different elements. So we see is these are the limits. So we've given Narad as an example on one side and Adharma on the other, or in Brahma Samhita, Brahma on one side and the Indugopa germ on the other. So everything in between, the living entity is looking, well, possibly you could just adjust it this way, then it would be, you know, the way we would like it. So all those situations, then one has to see Krishna in it. Seeing Krishna in it, then one decides, well, then what would be the appropriate way of dealing? And then that will establish proper behavior. Okay, are there any questions on this?
Ignorance is created
Okay.
Right in the beginning. How do we...
Okay, so the question is that We see in Satya Yuga people are all hamsas. I don't think paramahamsas, I think hamsa. Because paramahamsa would actually mean that they're devotees. Hamsa means that they're transcendental. So they're all hamsa and then it degrades. But we see here in the very beginning that Brahma and his creation and all these, adharmic elements are created. Because when you're dealing with the yugas, the yugas are specifically for the human being on this planet. Because from here, according to how you behave, that will establish your karma, where you'll be born after that. And everything else, the whole rest of the universe, is based on what they did as humans. Like what you did as a human, that will elevate you to the demigod, or to the demons, or the hellish regions, or to animal life, or, you know, all the various kinds of species that there are. So all the options are there in the beginning. Though in human society, then they're hamsas, and so they will tend towards the spiritual. But tending's not actually good enough, because tending towards the spiritual means one may elevate oneself from a lower capacity, but one will not take oneself beyond, the impersonal understanding like that. One might even get to the yogic understanding of the Paramatma, but without devotion, it still will leave one in a temporary situation. So just so their lives are very long, that kind of piety will keep them in a nice situation for a long time. At some point it will run out. You know, as we see in, let's say, in Nyaya or Vaisheshika philosophies, I wouldn't use the word fully God-conscious, but they're God-conscious. They know that God's created the world, God's beyond, God's not involved in karma, He's beyond everything, He's created everything, He's controlling of everything. According to your karma, you're getting your results. They know all that. But they're not interested in having a relationship with Him. Right? So this is why Rupa Goswami points out that becoming God-conscious, you have to go further to becoming, it's favorable to God. Because otherwise, the philosophers within the Vedic philosophical systems are all God-conscious. But it's not that they are interested in actually developing a relationship with Him. So they do good work that God will then reward them by giving the position of liberation, that they're beyond the creation, so they don't suffer the material interactions. So they're in the liberated position, and that's arranged by God. But, you know, so they think that's good enough. So that's the point, is that it's, you know, they don't know so much. So if you have a whole human society that's at least on that level, then the qualities they're going to have, the basis in Shastra, the quality of activities that they will perform, will all be pious and uplifting, but not necessarily devotional. So that's why then someone who's devotional, then that's special. They're the Paramahamsa, right? Because of Hamsas, they're the best. Because they understand the relationship with Godhead. So their transcendence takes them beyond the material world, but also then takes them into the spiritual world because of their devotion. So that's why then, even though every Satya Yuga, everyone's Hamsas, then the place is still full of people. Because it's still not good enough to get out of the material world. It's just, you could say, the best position or the highest material position you can be in is to be a transcendentalist. But being a devotee then is beyond that. Does that make sense? So all options have to be there. Because just like, let's say, also in Satya Yuga, everybody's good, everyone's religious. But why is it called good? Right? Good means there's a standard, there's a comparison, right? Like if I have gold and I have silver and I have copper and I have a piece of iron, then according to your standards of economic theory, the gold is more valuable, right? So I will adjust things according to the standard, right? So silver is less than that, copper is less than, iron is less than that. Not that we take iron as the standard and then we establish gold, right? So because you have established what is dharma, then that means you've also established what's adharma. Then people will be hamsas and choose dharma over adharma. Right? So you have to have everything in place to actually live a pious lifestyle. In other words, someone who's actually consistently living in a proper way, that's because they know the whole range of standard. They actually have a standard. Right? Because everyone will have a standard how they deal with their life. The question is it pious? In other words, in line with Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, or is it impious because we have created it ourselves? Right? And just because we don't like the word impious, or it makes us feel bad, or that doesn't matter. You know, that tree's green, whether you like it or not. You know, you like green, great. You don't like green, it's not going to change. Does that make sense? So everything is there. Everything's created. Then the individual living entity makes his choice. And that making of choice, that is then, that is what's going to establish, you know, your good examples in society and your bad. Like that. Is that okay?
Can I ask another question? Does the yugas only apply to the Earth planet?
Do the yugas only apply to Earth? Specifically, it applies here, but the effect of it is felt through the rest of the universe. Like in the other yugas, where the piety is greater, then therefore the facilities in the rest of the universe is also greater. And in Kali Yuga, because no one's doing sacrifice and shraddhas and all these things, then the facilities in the rest of the universe also becomes affected by that. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, the real problem happens in the stock market. On the floor there, you know, like all the guys with their suits on are all pulling their hair out. You know, so they feel it the worst. But it does affect everyone else. So the guy sitting out on his farm in the middle of Montana also, you know, gets the effect. Though he's not directly involved. He's just doing his farming like he always does. But now he doesn't get as much for his crop, or he gets more for his crop. Does that make sense? So like that. Is that okay?
You mentioned that Vaisheshika means just a pious person or a transcendentalist. Why would Prabhupada give the name Vaisheshika to this one particular devotee who's doing so much sankirtan? Well, there must be some more definition to it.
Means, what do you say, oh, pious, but the point is what's real piety? So all these different qualities means you have a name of Krishna, you have primary names and secondary names. But technically, because it's the person, it's Krishna, who is expanding into everything, still everything is still connected to that person. Does that make sense? So we see is that it's not uncommon, like Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami, right? You know, like that. So Sanatana Goswami. So they're very prominent, but they have names that, you know, some Sikhs technically wouldn't approve of, like that, you know. So, but the point is that you can see who is it. You know, like, how you say, you have Satyabhama is in Dwarka, but at the same time Satyabhama is Radharani in Dwarka. You know, so everything goes back to Krishna. So it's just a matter of where it is in the creation. Technically it doesn't matter because it's still all Krishna if you can understand it that way. So you can understand it, the spiritual element of it, the Brahman level of it, or the Paramatma level of it, of the action and the good qualities and all that. Means, in other words, the static qualities of something, you know, connected to Krishna, or the dynamic qualities, means where you're involved in it, or Krishna in his pastimes. It's still the same thing. Does that make sense? So one can get at one from the other. Like the tamal tree, the gopis see that and see Krishna. The tamal tree is just blackish in color, right? It doesn't, if you go out and feel a tamal tree, it doesn't feel like Krishna. It's not in threefold bending form, or, you know, so you just take that quality, so that blackishness, then that reminds them of Krishna, or like the clouds remind them of Krishna. You know, the lightning of Radharani and Krishna, like that. So you do have the element of that, it is Krishna's quality of that blackishness or being the complete whole. Therefore, he's, you know, the complete. Like if you take substance and you mix everything together, you'll get black, right? But if you take energy and you mix it all together, you'll get white. right? So Krishna's black, Radharani's golden, right? Because they're the original source of all substance, all energy. So these principles go through, permeate the whole creation. So that's why in anything you can find Krishna there. Right? They can give examples of transcendence through cloth. What do they call it? The warp and the wave. Whip? Like that. So these, from there, you know, how it's held together, how Krishna has permeated everything, it holds it all together just like the cloth. You know, or the spider. The spider takes the web and it comes out of its body, but it can also wind it back up and put it back into its body. So like that, Krishna expands the creation and brings it back. So all the examples are there because they're actually coming from Krishna. So they will have some aspect of his nature. So from anywhere you can get back to Krishna. Does that make sense? So that's why it's not, that aspect is not so important. So when persons get too involved in the name, well, that's not a, you know, such a nice name, then it doesn't matter. That's why you have, you know, like we were saying, you know, old examples that you would know, Bhavananda, you know, Bhava means the material world, so the Ananda, the material world, but it's the Ananda, material world means you take that, connect that to Krishna, and so that happiness that comes through connecting your material activities to Krishna, you know. I always thought it was Bhavananda, but it's Bhavananda. Bhava means the material world. Material existence is Bhava. So it doesn't mean, you know, material happiness. It means actually, what is material happiness? It's actually the experience gained from your interaction with the particular material situation. So that, but the material situation is dead matter, so there won't be anything there. So it's Krishna's potency that enters it. So actually, the happiness that's there is actually Krishna. We know it's Krishna, then it's Krishna conscious. So we don't know it's Krishna, it's illusion. Right? Like that, you know. Does that make sense? Like that, you know. And the other example is, it's the Ananda, yeah. Or it's like, you have Krishna's potency, his Swarup Shakti. So when she deals in making arrangements within Krishna's creation, then it can either be on the spiritual platform as Yogamaya, or on the material platform as Mahamaya, that's the same person. So therefore, one can always see Krishna through it. You know, it's up to the individual whether what platform they act upon, that's another thing, right? Does that make sense? So, yes.
And Maharaj, do you usually find community as a group of people with a goal of pleasing Krishna? Okay, my question is, how look like, for example, in the West, there is a community of 3-4 devotees with a goal of pleasing Krishna, and here in Mayapur, there are a community of 1,000 devotees, and how look like, when there is more devotees, more people doing the same thing, look like this working more, or we get more enthused when there is more people around doing the same thing. Why is that?
Why do we get more enthused when there's more people?
Yes.
Okay, just in the beginning, when he's saying community means where there is common ideals, where there's a common body of values, that's what makes community. So what I'm saying is when you have a more, especially in this case, like cosmopolitan group of persons to create community there, then they're... you must have a common value that all of them, despite the differences in their conditioned natures, will find as common, right? Means in the material community, you have a group of persons that their conditioned values are common. But what we're saying here is that we're going beyond that, so you're going to have persons who... their sense of conditioned community won't be common with another member of this community, right? But because the higher value of Krishna consciousness and seeing your conditioned nature in connection to Krishna, that's common. So if you're connecting your conditioned nature to Krishna and someone else is connecting theirs to Krishna, that's common ground. Even though what you're connecting is different, right? So that's what I'm meaning there. On the aspect of why would we feel more inspired because there's thousands here and let's say another community somewhere else or there's only 2 or 3, because just the level of the more people involved, the higher the intensity, the greater the intensity. And so the nature of the, the nature of relationship then always has the element of the greater the intensity, the greater the experience. So that's why one is always trying to increase the intensity. Whatever one's doing, you're doing something, and then the particular level of intensity that you work at won't be enough. You'll try to make it more, you know, the intensity. You know, you're lifting weights, and, you know, when you first do it, then, you know, it has a particular level, though you're doing something very small because it's new or something, so then you like that. But after a while, you have to increase the intensity by doing more and more difficult tasks to create. So when you have many, many people together, then automatically there'll be a higher intensity. And because of the difference in nature, if everybody's exactly the same, then you're going to, then they're also going, their moods are going to go up and down together, right? But now you have such a variety, then when one group may be not feeling so happy, another group is happy. You know, one group is that, you know, somebody could get a visa and so they're not here, and so that group feels bad that they've lost a member of their group. But another group, it's, you know, their Guru Maharaj is Vyas Puja, they're feeling very happy. So there's always something to create a fullness in the environment. You understand? So that's why big communities are good, but the trick in big communities is you have to know what to look for that's common. I mean, first of all, you have to know that community means what's common. Most people do not know this. Second, you have to find out what is common for everybody here, because most people try to establish a particular way of doing things that everybody should do. But the point is no, you should take whatever you're doing and connect it to Krishna. Then it will be at its best. That's the principle.
Srila Prabhupada preaching movement, so look like a community of 3-4 devotees, even experience pleasing Krishna, look like it's not working if there's still 4 or 5 devotees for the last 20 years, so we have a feeling like, okay, we have to make more and more people.
Means expansion. So expansion is the natural, well, it's Krishna's nature to expand, but why that's happening is because of his potency. You understand? The nature of potency is to expand, right? Like a point that's being made in these two verses, specifically in the previous verse, is that a celibate person can live in a house, but it's not called a home, right? It's a home when you add a wife, right? When there's women there, then it's called home. Right? Because home means it will be expanding. You're always improving the quality of your facilities, the interactions, the facilities for interactions. Right? So that's why stream means to expand. So the feminine nature means to expand. So the jiva, being feminine, always wants to expand. So that's why it's natural for the jiva then to be involved in the preaching movement, because you're expanding. Because Krishna, being masculine, is that the experience of expanding is good. He likes that. That's why he's expanded his creation. But the point is he only interacts with his creation as it interacts with him. But the feminine nature is not like that. The feminine nature is that you make it expand, right? The man, what works, he keeps that, and you come back 20 years later, he's still the same thing, right? But the feminine nature is that what you have now, that's great, and that if you had more, that's more great, you know, so you just keep developing it. So there's 5 devotees there, great, but make more. Right? So that's why Lord Chaitanya, who's Krishna, takes the mood of Radharani, because it's the nature to expand. Right? Krishna's pleasure is at a particular level. Krishna will leave it at that as the devotees interact. But Radharani is not satisfied with that. It should expand. It should develop. There should be more situations and pleasure for Krishna. So she's going to expand it. Now the question is implying this feminine quality, is it going to be for Krishna or for ourselves? Is it we're bored, so that's why we want more people here, or it's because Krishna, you know, wants to see everybody engaged in his service, therefore we're expanding the community, right? So one has to see it, because as we mentioned before, is the material existence being a reflection of the spiritual, the same thing can be used in either way. The exact same thing can be spiritual or material. It's not that these things are only spiritual and these things are only material. There's no such thing. There's higher grade spiritual and lower grade, or higher grade, but that's higher grade is because it's more naturally connected or connectable to Krishna, right? Does that make sense? In other words, Mother Jashoda will make gold ornaments for Krishna. She won't make iron ornaments for Krishna. So that's why gold is considered better than iron, is because of its relationship to Krishna. You know what I'm saying? A variety of foodstuffs is considered better than, let's say, less of a variety, or nicely cooked is better than not, because that's what Mother Jashoda is going to do for Krishna. Right? Having a nice facility, a nice palace is considered better than, you know, a hut on the side of the road. Right? Because that's how Mother Jashoda is arranging for Krishna. That's why. Otherwise, why is there a big house is considered better? Even if you're in a hut, you know, still the guy with the bigger hut, that's considered better. Right? Why? Because it's going back to Krishna. So there's nothing that's not connected to Krishna. It's just whether we see it that way or not. That's all. That's the choice. So community will mean that you see the different natures that are there, how to connect that to Krishna. Right? That's the common ground, even though in the beginning, externally it doesn't look common, but internally it is. But if internally it is, there are certain common points that will start to become common between all the groups, right? Like that. Though they'll still have their differences. You know what I'm saying? It's like you have, you know, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, you know, and you have, let's say, in Gujarat, the Pushti Margis there. So they're all devotees of Krishna. But what the Pushti Margis offer to Krishna and how they like to dress for Krishna will be different than how the Gaudiyas cook and dress for Krishna, right? But the principle of it is exactly the same in both. Offer the best of whatever is there in your community. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we'll end here. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinda Ki, Chaitanya Gaura Premanandi.